Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a special Christmas edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Christmas in the sense that I'm going to be answering questions that deal specifically with the Christian Christmas narrative. As always, the resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to start with a question that I think is very, very important because it's asked over and over again during the Christmas holidays. How could someone like Daniel, who was writing 6 centuries before the time of Christ, have predicted exactly what was going to happen hundreds of years later? Or perhaps we might ask, why are messianic prophecies a golden key that ends up unlocking the hearts of even hardened skeptics? I ask that question in light of the words that we find in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This, of course, is a prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Prophecy, I think, is so important for us because what it does is represent one of the most powerful proofs of the divine origins of the biblical text. And the book of Daniel is a classic case in point. Sometimes we forget that he was writing in the midst of the 6th century Babylonian captivity. And at that time, Yahweh, the God of Israel, reveals through Daniel his present and, I would say, his eternal purposes for Israel and, of course, for the world. So Daniel ends up accurately predicting a progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Median and Persian empires to the further persecution and suffering of the Jews under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, including the Syrian despot's desecration of the Jerusalem temple and his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus way back in 165 BC. What's interesting about this is something that is remembered in Jewish congregations around the world every single year. It is one of those epic events in human history, an epic event that involves an Old Testament Antichrist. And so the book of Daniel prophetically looks forward to the coming of Messiah. Now, Jewish congregations are not looking forward to the coming of Messiah as happened 2,000 years ago. They don't believe Messiah has as yet come. But think about what Jeremiah prophesied. Jerusalem, said Jeremiah, would experience a partial restoration after 70 years of exile. However, as revealed through the angel Gabriel, the return from exile was merely a type of the antitypical freedom that would be experienced through Judas Maccabeus, which itself was typological of something. That something is the ultimate restoration that comes through Jesus, the Messiah. And we have to look at the singular fact that Jesus ends up being the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And therefore, it should never surprise us that when we read the scripture, prophecies regarding Jesus outnumber all other prophecies. And many of these prophecies would have been impossible for Jesus to deliberately conspire to fulfill. How could he do that with respect to his descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or his birth in Bethlehem? Or, think about this, his crucifixion with criminals as foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. The piercing of his hands and his feet on the cross, or the soldiers gambling for his clothes, the piercing of his side, and the fact that his bones were not broken at his death. And maybe the capstone is, ironically, his burial among the rich. And perhaps the most beloved of all the Old Testament prophecies is encapsulated in the words of Isaiah, who 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, think about that, 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, wrote these immortal words. We all know them. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In other words, the possessor of eternity. And the moniker Prince of Peace. Only Messiah, born of a virgin, could match the meaning of these kind of majestic monikers. And not only that, but the Christ who walked through the doorway of Isaiah's messianic prophecy made the ultimate prediction: destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Over the years, I have discovered time and time again that messianic prophecy is the golden key that unlocks the hearts of even hard-boiled skeptics. How is it possible that the Old Testament prophets were able to predict the coming of Christ with such meticulous precision? His ancestry, you can't fake that. His birthplace, remember Micah said that it would be Bethlehem Ephratah, and only Bethlehem Ephratah would do. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only one could be the fulfillment of the words of the Old Testament prophets. Or think about the details surrounding his death. He was to be crucified. Now, crucifixion was not invented by the Romans. It was invented long before the Romans by the Persians. It was only popularized by the Romans. And yet the details of his crucifixion were given to us in such meticulous fashion that only Jesus and the death of Jesus on the cross could be their fulfillment. Well, this is one of those issues that I'm so excited about, messianic prophecy. I've written about this in many different places, including The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I've written about this as well in my book, Has God Spoken? Many of these resources, in fact, all of them, can be found on the web at equip.org. When I come back from the break, I'm going to answer the question, did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that discredits Scripture when he said that Augustus Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken and that that decree would take place when Jesus Christ was born? We're going to answer that objection when we come back.
Award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson explores the credibility and impact of Christianity in the instant classic, Jesus Skeptic, a first-of-its-kind book for a new generation. How could one figure influence the world so dramatically? Dickerson explores how Christianity has impacted and shaped our culture, including how followers of Jesus helped to abolish slavery, establish public education, found modern hospitals, support women's rights, drive racial reconciliation, and fight for justice and progress in various other arenas. To receive your copy of Jesus Skeptic for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Is Christianity good for the world? Do followers of Jesus Christ promote human rights, alleviate suffering, and enable humanity to flourish? In his book, Jesus Skeptic, award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson offers compelling primary evidence for the credibility of the Christian faith and shows that Jesus and his followers have indeed changed the world for good in remarkable ways. Dickerson writes, "Whether I like Jesus' followers or not, Jesus bears studying, for his movement has been, by multiple measures, among the most powerful movements for social good in all of human history." Be sure to read Jesus Skeptic, a journalist explores the credibility and impact of Christianity. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a strategic gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And you have tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm answering questions that are raised over and over again this time of the year. And as we say so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we are called to be ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and to do that with gentleness and with respect. The whole idea is not to win the argument. It is to reach a person who without Jesus Christ has a vacuum that will never be filled. Before the break, I was mentioning a question that comes up over and over again this time of the year. It's actually a question that is motivated by something that Dr. Luke said in Luke chapter 2. And Luke is considered to be a meticulous historian. And therefore, this question calls into question a larger question. How reliable is not only Dr. Luke, but how reliable is the Bible at all? The words of Dr. Luke in chapter 2 have to do with those days in which Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And according to Luke, everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and at the time was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, on NBC, there was a special called The Birth of Jesus. And on that special, a man named Dr. John Dominic Crossan, who happens to be co-founder of the wildly popular Jesus Seminar, called into question the historical veracity of the Bible by saying Luke tells us the story that at the time Jesus was born, Augustus had decreed a census of the whole earth. And then he said this, "Now, every scholar is going to tell you that there was no such census ever." The question we have to ask at this point is, is he correct, or is the canon correct? If he's correct, the canon is corrupt. So did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that effectively discredits sacred scripture? In an age in which the historical reliability of the Bible is being questioned, it is ever more crucial that Christians are equipped to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. So, how do we respond to critics like John Dominic Crossan? Is his pontification on NBC a defensible argument, or is it merely a dogmatic assertion? Well, it turns out to be the latter. It's a dogmatic assertion. While Crossan made his pontification with typical bravado, it's patently false. Caesar Augustus was famous for census taking. So famous, in fact, that this issue is no longer even debated among credible historians. The Jewish historian Josephus actually refers to a Roman taxation in AD 6, and considering the scope of the taxation, it is logical to assume that it took a very long time to complete. Undoubtedly, it began with Caesar Augustus around 5 BC and was likely completed a decade later. But there's more. Luke, ever the meticulous historian, notes that the census took place when Quirinius served as governor of Syria. An ancient historian, Dr. Paul Meyer, co-author of one of my books, an esteemed professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, noted once on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that Romans took 40 years to get a census done in Gaul, and therefore for a province 1,500 miles away from Rome to take a decade is eminently reasonable. Not only that, but since the census came in under the administration of Quirinius, it would correctly be labeled as his census. And not only that, but given Luke's impeccable credentials as a historian, it would have been far more circumspect for someone like John Dominic Crossan to temper his dogmatism, and those who follow in his train should do so as well. These are issues that are not trivial. These are critical issues. If Luke is wrong, the Bible is wrong. And if the Bible is wrong here, how can we trust the Bible as a reliable authority? We need to remember the experience of a brilliant archaeologist. His name was Sir William Ramsay. He was very much like Crossan in his own day. He was bent on undermining Luke's historical reliability. And therefore, through his painstaking Mediterranean archaeological adventures, he was expecting, well, to underscore his own biases. But something else happened. He discovered that one after the other, the historical allusions that Dr. Luke provides were accurate. If, as Ramsay points out, Luke does not err in referencing a plethora of countries and cities and islands and all the details that surround them, then there's no reason to doubt him concerning the census either. So on this sacred occasion, an occasion where we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ by way of celebration, why not make a commitment that we ask you to make each and every year, not just once, but throughout the year? Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And remember, even if you don't have an answer ready at your fingertip, you can always research and return, and a great place to do that is on the web at equip.org. That's why we pray, and we do pray about this earnestly. May God use your well-reasoned answers this Christmas season as an opportunity to share the grace, the truth, the light that only the Christ of Christmas can bring to the human heart. And once again, I ask people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, not because the organization needs it, but because in giving to us, you give through us and touch the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. Thank you this Christmas season as you stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In appreciation for your vital year-end gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of Jesus Skeptic, A Journalist Explores the Credibility and Impact of Christianity. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.